Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And what a glorious day. It's started relatively warm, and it's going to get warmer, and it's, well, it can't get sunnier because it's 110% sun right now as it is. Skyrocketing temperatures to 53 with a wind chill that might escape the 40s. We basically had wind chills in the 30s. This entire week, and kind of raw weather, not enough sun, and we're going to make up for that today. And I hope you get a chance to explore some in the outdoors. As I've been saying, wear a mask to protect other people. And it's as simple as You weren't that careful 2 days ago and touched some things or ran into someone who doesn't know that they had the coronavirus and you may have it from a very short encounter, and you won't know that for another few days, another week. Incubation period takes a while, and so the mask that you wear is protecting other people. And the mask that they're wearing will protect you. So wear it. Bring it with you if you're in a park. Put it on if you're near people. Explore like Durand Eastman, where there are relatively few people just because it's way up by the lake and it's not as densely populated an area as Highland Park. But Highland Park is pretty gorgeous right now. And we haven't had that much rain, so you can get off the trail and walk up along the reservoir fence under these massive London plane trees, sycamores, some really gorgeous, gorgeous trees. And usually people don't really get to see them because they stay on the paved path and they don't go up by that reservoir fence, but there's kind of a grass path up there. And it is just looking up into these trees is pretty amazing. So get off the path and see the cherries are blooming, quite a few of them. And then the bulbs, this cold weather is holding the bulbs, the daffodils, the blue scilla, still very pretty. Actually, some of the azaleas have already finished, there'll be more coming along. Magnolias are blooming, the star magnolias, the big tulip magnolias bloom a little bit later. Some of the star magnolias got damaged a little by the cold weather this week, and so there are some brown petals as I've driven around Rochester on some of the star magnolias. They didn't like that 24 degrees that we had, but in general, they did pretty well, and again, it is a gorgeous time right now in Highland Park. Later this afternoon, from 1 to 4, there's going to be a mini farmer's market. Some of the farmers from the Brighton Farmer's Market are getting together at Newbury Park Pastries, as they do often on Sundays, but because of the weather forecast of rain tomorrow, they decided a sunny day might be more fun, and so and more customers today, 1 to 4, at Newbury Park Pastries, and one of the farmers will be there. Eric Fellens is with us, Fellens Family Farm. Good morning, Eric.
Hello.
How are you this morning with the sunshine? It's got to feel good to see that for a change, right?
Well, it is a beautiful day out here.
And what are you bringing to the market at Newbury Park Pastries today? Have you loaded in your truck?
We are still loading up, and actually we are still harvesting at this point.
Right.
The bulk of what we're going to be bringing today will be garden transplants. We have about a dozen varieties of different tomatoes that look amazing right now that will be available. We have about a half dozen culinary kitchen herbs in small pots that, you know, you could grow on a windowsill or put outside. And we have edible nasturtium flowers both in like small pots to put in flower beds and also larger hanging baskets.
Ooh. The leaves are edible on nasturtiums too, I think, not just the flowers.
Absolutely. The leaves are edible. If anything, the leaves have a even spicier flavor than the flowers.
These hanging baskets for nasturtiums, would you hang them in full sun or part shade, do you think? What would keep them going the best?
Well, nasturtium is really a pretty resilient plant. We've always had the best luck in full sun, but even if you have an area that only gets sun half the day, the nasturtiums should do just fine. And we've had amazing luck with them. We've had nasturtiums blooming out in the field through, you know, late October some years, right until we get a good kill and frost.
Yeah, one of my favorite plants. I mean, I've put them in pots that I have tomatoes in just for decoration, because they spill over the pot.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an exceptional plant, and it's one of the most wonderful flowers in the way that, you know, the more flowers you pick, the more flowers you get. So it's, you know, not just something pretty to look at. It's a plant that you should really be making good use of.
Yeah, well, nasturtiums are one of my favorites. And where is Felons Family Farms? So give us a little background on where you are.
We're over in Phelps, New York, just north of the top of Seneca Lake.
And the right now, you're bringing in some bags of greens, too, for the market today?
Yes, I was actually out in the high tunnel harvesting kale right before I called in. And in a few minutes, I'll be headed back out to get a little more kale, hopefully dig up a little bit of green garlic, and forage a little bit of garlic mustard.
And what is a high tunnel for people that don't know?
Sure. A high tunnel, it looks a lot like a greenhouse, and the distinction that we've always held is a greenhouse is, you know, a structure that looks like a high tunnel where generally you grow plants in trays and pots, usually on benches, and you have a heat source to, you know, allow you to grow through the winter. And a high tunnel is a similar looking structure, but you grow directly in the ground as you would out in the field. And generally speaking, high tunnels don't have any sort of supplemental heat. So it's, you know, only the solar energy that's heating the tunnel.
So that's why you can harvest some kale for us to buy in bags, but my kale is just come out of the ground as a seedling in my own garden.
Exactly. Yeah, and the kale that we're pulling out of the tunnels right now is actually just a leftover from, you know, fall of 2019, and we are just getting that cleaned out. We'll probably have some the next 2 weeks, and, you know, then that's coming out. Summer squash is going in, and about 2 weeks after that, we should start harvesting kale out of the field that was transplanted about a month ago.
And did I read that you sold out your CSA?
In a way, yes. We have three separate CSA seasons, and the early season CSA that actually starts in just over a week now, that is completely sold out, and we actually oversold that a little bit. But the main CSA season that begins the first week in June, we still have about 20 shares available, and with so much of the uncertainty with the local farmers markets that we're seeing right now, we might end up opening that up a little bit more and, you know, have 30, 35 shares available.
And that runs kind of mid-June through October or so?
It runs like roughly, because, you know, we do four distributions each week, so it varies a little bit, but it's roughly the first week in June through about mid-October. It's a 20-week season. And then after that, we also have a winter CSA that begins roughly the last week in October and runs through either the end of December or the first week of January.
And, you know, I've mentioned CSAs numerous times, but from the point of view of a farmer, why is a CSA important to you? What's important to your planning to have members of a CSA?
Well, I guess the one thing where CSA is really shining, you know, at this moment in time with the, you know, COVID-19 pandemic is the CSA provides us with, I guess, a very stable customer base year in, year out that is really unaffected by anything, you know, anything else that's going on. So, you know, like at this point where we're looking at the possibility of potentially, you know, losing access to a few of our best farmers markets, you know, the CSA customers help to, you know, make up for those sales dollars that are being lost. And, you know, other upsides of the CSA is if we have, say, 120 to 150 CSA members this season, it really allows us to pre-plan much better and ensure that we grow the correct amount, you know, that we're not going to run short, and also that, you know, we're not going to plant, you know, two times, five times more than we have a possibility of using. You know, we know before the season begins who our customers are going to be, who we're going to be working with, and we can really tailor the crop mix and the crop quantities based on that. And the last great advantage to CSA, and, you know, thankfully we've been fortunate enough that this, you know, hasn't been, like, of number one importance, but for a lot of beginning farms, with CSA, most of the members generally prepay for their membership, and that allows, you know, a small business like ours to, you know, have a significant amount of cash coming in January, February, March, when as a farm, you know, we're incurring most of the largest expenses at that point in the season. And if it wasn't for CSA, you know, we wouldn't have the cash flow to pay the bills that time of year.
Well, one of the key people behind the CSA movement is Liz Henderson from Piecework Farms, and she's actually going to be speaking later today on a Zoom video conference the City of Rochester is doing, a spring garden symposium, and she's going to be talking about soil this afternoon. Kind of 11 to 2 that it's going on, and hopefully it'll be recorded so people can watch it later. But she's been one of the key people around the country, I think, in CSAs, hasn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like so much of the modern CSA movement can be traced right back to what they did at Piecework. And, yeah, I mean, for like a lot of farmers, that's really one of the, you know, origin points.
Yeah, she has a book she did called Sharing the Harvest about CSAs that's on my shelf here and still available, I'm sure, if you want to. And that's good for farmers, but also interesting for consumers. Eric Fellens is with us, and again, we're talking about the CSAs partly because the Brighton Farmers Market is not going on, and that was a really busy market for all the vendors, and you know, you'll be set up at Newbury Park Pastries today, but it's clearly not going to be as busy a market as the big Brighton market, and that's a lot of sales that the farmers and the other producers are not getting from these farm markets during the shutdown. And it's, you know, you couldn't plan for this. You didn't obviously know it would happen, but it's got to be challenging to deal with that sudden change in your planning for farmers markets. Did you just do Brighton, or did you do some other ones too?
For the last several years, Brighton has been the only market we've done. We used to do the market in Geneva and Canandaigua, but, you know, as the CSAs grew, we just ran out of, you know, available time to commit to doing that many markets. So I would say for the last 5 years, we've done CSA 4 days a week, Brighton on Sunday. And, you know, with that, it's pretty much been, you know, run 1 day, home 1 day, run 2 days, home 1 day. So it's been a very full schedule.
I think people, you know, the consumers that come to the farmers markets don't realize how much work goes into cleaning the produce, packing the truck, setting up at the market, and then doing it all of that backwards when you go home. It's a really long day.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, Brighton, you know, it's the market that's the furthest from the farm that we've done. But, you know, even with a super local market, if the market opens at, you know, say 8 in the morning and we have to leave at 7:30 in the morning to get to market, you know, that means that most market mornings you're going to be, you know, up and moving by 5:30 just to, you know, finish harvesting the, you know, tender greens that you want to have, you know, fresh that day and get the truck loaded up. And then when you get back at the end of market, you have, generally speaking, another hour to just sort everything out, get everything put away. So, you know, something like Brighton, when, you know, in the summer it's 9 to 1, it really is a full day commitment from the time we start moving to the time we get the last bin put back in the cooler.
Yeah, well, it's about 45-minute drive, right? Somewhere in that range?
Yeah, it's a 45, 50-minute drive there and drive back, and probably 2 hours on the, you know, beginning side to get everything loaded up, and then another hour once we get back to get everything unloaded and put away.
Well, 1 to 4 today at Newbury Park Pastries, the Genesee Regional Market. And lastly, Eric, what do you still have to put in the ground in terms of seedlings, transplants? There was some cold weather this past week that may have slowed you down.
Oh, we have so much. And I guess a better thing to share is at this point what we have gotten in. So far, we've put in probably about 15,000 onions. We put in 1,500 pounds of seed potatoes last week. We have a few thousand kale plants transplanted in the front field, and 2.5 high tunnels full of spring greens. And then just this week coming up, we have another several thousand heads of lettuce that we have to transplant out in the field. We have probably 1,000 Swiss chard that we're hoping to get out, and a couple hundred summer squash and zucchini plants that we're going to be transplanting into a tunnel to try to get a real jump on that season.
Yeah, there is a chance of a frost this week in Rochester, 32 predicted for the Monday night here.
Yep.
But we get through that, look at the long-range forecast. I don't see any 30s after that. We'll hope that was maybe the last frost danger, at least in the city of Rochester.
I would love to see that. The weather these past few weeks has just been absolutely ridiculous out here.
Yeah.
I feel like we go from 60 to 20 with, you know, 30-mile-an-hour winds. And, you know, like about a week ago, we had one day where it went from, like, 50 and sunny and an absolutely beautiful day to the mid-30s and a blizzard in, like, 30 minutes.
Right.
And it did that, like, 3 times over the course of the day, just back and forth.
Welcome to Rochester and the Finger Lakes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Again, you'll be at Newbury Park Pastries, a mini market today that you've been doing on Sundays, but today you're going to do it on Saturday because of rain predicted tomorrow. So
yes,
we'll see you.
Michael, I'm not sure if I'm incorrect on this or if you are, but what I'm seeing is hours today are 11 to 3 instead of 1 to 4.
All right. I got this from Kate's post, and she often listens, so maybe she'll call in and check in with us.
Yeah, hopefully, because if it's 1 to 4, that gives me more time to get things harvested.
Right.
But I think I looked it up. Let's see, on the Newbury and Friends Market page. Let me look this up real quick.
Her regular retail hours on Saturdays are 11 to 3 or 11 to 5. But she did a post yesterday that said Saturday, April 25th, 1 to 4 for the market.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm seeing on the Newbury and Friends Market page, open Saturday, 11 to 3. Oh, boy. All right, well, I suppose we'll try to figure out exactly when it is, but
yeah,
definitely if you show up between 1 and 3, people will definitely be there, and most likely most of us will be there until 4, regardless of what the posts are saying.
Exactly, exactly. And I'll check in with Kate. So good luck with harvesting there, Eric, and with the season. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Eric Fellens, Fellens Family Farm, and it's spelled F-E-L-L-E-N-Z, Fellens Family Farms. It is a, it's got some great greens. Had some of the kale several times over the last couple weeks. So we'll check on the time of that mini market today. Again, they've been normally doing it from 1 to 4 on Sundays, but rain predicted for tomorrow, and they wanted to enjoy the sunshine for this market because they have some of the vendors outside at Newbury Park Pastries. Kate doesn't have a lot of space indoors, and so there'll be a couple vendors inside and then a couple set up outside just so that things aren't packed in too tightly. And they just ask that you wear a mask. They'll be wearing them. And so keep everyone as safe as we can. And try to support local farmers, local producers. Wolfschlegel's farm will be there, the maple farm. Bobby's going to have maple cream and all kinds of maple syrup and a lot more. And R.M. Bishoping, Robin is going to have spring and fall raw honey. And those come in cute little glass containers, delicious honey, and she's got handmade soaps. And she also has been making face masks. So if you want a really cool-looking one, she's bringing some to the market today. Flower City Pasta and Pasta Classics, and Kurt Foreman from Clearview Farm is bringing ramps as well as organic free-range eggs, and his eggs are pretty amazing. So again, we'll check the hours, and I'll let you know. But that's this afternoon at Newbury Park Pastries, Genesee Regional Market, and that's Mushroom Boulevard, and not far from Lori's Natural Foods, but kind of the other side of Clay Road. So it's an area that is mostly industrial and doesn't have as much retail as a Korean restaurant. And then at the end of Mushroom Boulevard is Newbury Park Pastries and her pot pies and things. It's kind of directly behind Mushroom Boulevard's parallel to Jefferson Road. And so she's kind of behind Home Depot and Christmas Tree Shop is maybe the best way to visualize it. We will take a quick break. Be back after words from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040.
Turn on the weatherman, is that the news I need? cloud, but no rain. Back in time with Louis XV1.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of Naturally Green. And we have some great places, really amazing sponsors of this show. And my original sponsor was Sarah's Garden Center. And they are an amazing place in Brockport, 389 East Avenue in Brockport. Some gorgeous gardens and stonework that they've been working on. And they've been doing curbside service for a little bit. They take this seriously. They want to keep you safe. And it's, you know, it's still pretty early to put in a lot of transplants. Again, frost likely this week in Rochester, and even more likely outside of Rochester. Hopefully we can get through the next week or two and be able to open the garden centers more fully. But Sarah's Garden Center is in Brockport. You can check their website to see the kinds of plants that they have. They always get in some really cool raspberries, thornless raspberries and blackberries and things. Some are dwarf varieties, don't get as big. So you might ask them about those. And some gorgeous forsythia this past week. So violas, pansies, they love this cool weather. 32 degrees Monday night, they're fine. They don't care at all about that. And we'll add a lot of color right now to your yard for the next month. They're going to really flourish until we get somewhat warmer weather. And a lot of the other transplants will grow even better. So Sarah's Garden Center in Brockport and 389 East Avenue. The Birdhouse has been doing a lot of online videos and presentations for their TN tweets and Saturday presentations. You can follow them on Facebook and see Liz Magnani, their general manager, who does a lot of the presentations. One of the ones they had this past week was keeping squirrels out, but also she was playing some bird songs and things, helping me identify some of the birds by their songs. And so really informative. You can find those videos at thebirdhouseny.com. Look them up on Facebook. It's thebirdhouseny.com. Available for curbside service. You call in advance and let them know what you need. You can look on their website to see more about what they have. If you want to add a birdhouse to your yard, it's a great time of year to do that. And they have a little more limited hours with the curbside service, so check their hours at thebirdhouseny.com, and they'll put whatever you order, pay for over the phone, on one of the tables out front there at the store. It's thebirdhouseny.com. And Bergen Water Gardens, we talked to Larry Now last week. They are shipping lotus and tropical water lilies and carnivorous plants, not just around the country or, you know, New York State or the Finger Lakes, but actually around the world. He had shipments, I think, going to Singapore or Germany, at several locations around the world. And again, this right here in between Churchill and Bergen on Buffalo Road. It's Bergen Water Gardens. Not open for retail now. He normally doesn't open in April anyway. But they are shipping, and they can ship to you right here, or they can ship to other parts of the country. Easy to do right now before the tubers and things get growing. Bergenwatergardens.com. They have micro lotus also that are quite small and really adorable. Bergenwatergardens.com. And finally, Bricola Tree and Lawn Care. They are doing some work getting people's vegetable gardens going. If you don't have a vegetable garden, they can help plan and install one for you. And this might be a good year to grow some of your own food. If nothing else, you'll appreciate all the work that the farmers do even more. That's Bricola Tree and nurseryonthepeninsula.com to get more details. Their nursery on 441, just east of Turkhill Road and Route 250. They deliver mulch and trees and shrubs. They can install those for you. Get in touch with them at BercoloTreeAndLawn.com, 424-4476. And finally, brought to you by Wisteria Flowers and Gifts, located on Culver Road, right near University. One of our longtime sponsors. Look them up online, and WisteriaFlowersAndGifts.com. For about 20 years, they've been a sponsor of the show. When you call, visit, email our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Naturally Green.
Turning the soil and planting the seeds, laying down mulch and pulling up weeds, mowing the corn, row on row. Then you stand right back and you watch it grow. No, even little children gotta do their part and help the things grow.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is Naturally Green on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And today, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is a spring garden symposium online. The City of Rochester is doing this, and the Department of Environmental Services, 11 to 2. And they've got a couple workshops, one on soil health with Joe Gersetz and Liz Henderson. And Liz is the one who was and still is such a key part of the CSA movement in the United States, not just here, but she's been speaking all over the world and really been an incredibly important person in the growth and the popularity of CSAs, which now have expanded into, there's bread CSAs, there's meat CSAs, there's, as Eric Fellin said, there's early season, regular season, late season, winter season CSAs. There are many, many options. But, you know, 30 years ago when the concept was just beginning, really, Piecework Farm, which is not that far from Eric and Phelps, it's in North Rose, and continues to be a CSA, although she's retired from it. Piecework Farm is still a CSA. I think they do their pickups for the produce at Abundance Market. But she'll be a part of the soil health workshop that's going to be a Zoom online video conference 11 to 2 today. And then there'll also be a weed control workshop also, and a mini garden film festival to go with that. So, you know, look up the details, cityofrochester.gov, the Spring Garden Symposium today. And again, it's 11 to 2. And I'm hoping that it'll be recorded, that it'll be available after the fact on YouTube maybe or through the City of Rochester, because you know, they're not going to, just if, like they had a in-person conference today, they wouldn't have as many people because it's suddenly a nice day and people want to be outside. Oh, really a gorgeous day. And I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy it. Got a note from Kate that the vendors will be there from 11 to 4 today, but a few of them can't get there until 1 o'clock because of the Canandaigua market. So if you want to make sure to catch all the vendors today at Newbury Park Pastries, go between 1 and 4, but again, some of them will be set up by 11. And she opens her retail space at 11 on Saturdays. So, again, all of them will be there from 1 to 4. And it's not all the Brighton Farmers Market vendors. It's the ones that I mentioned earlier. And they, a few of them will be there at 11. It's Newbury Park Pastries today. If you want details on anything you heard me mention, you can always call here, 585-346-3000. You can also email me, michael@saverlife.com, anytime. And one of the things I was out looking around yesterday was Arbor Day. And so I went over and took some photos of the Dawn Redwood, one of the larger ones in Rochester. It's in Highland Park, but it's in an area of Highland Park that most people don't visit because it's kitty corner across the Elmwood and Highland intersection from the Pansy Bed. And it's really where the county has some of their maintenance sheds and sort of workspace. It's very close to the road, really. And I think most people really don't notice it. And the girth in the trunk is really amazing. And just a beautiful form to the tree in general. I was driving down Howland Avenue, which is off of Elmwood, because I wanted to check on a Dawn Redwood that I planted for a landscape customer probably 30 years ago. And it was kind of funny because I was driving down Howland, which is just like a two block street, kind of Highland Avenue to Elmwood mainly. And as I was driving by the house where the Dawn Redwood is in front, and it's a gorgeous looking Dawn Redwood, there are two people out walking on the street, and they stopped right in front of the tree, were looking up at it and gesturing to each other. And I really wanted to stop and give them some background on the tree, but they clearly thought it was a pretty cool tree. And there's a few of them around, and there's some on Clover, not far from the canal on a private property that you can see as you're driving on Clover. There's one up on Latta, which is maybe near Dewey. There are a few around, but they're not very common. And one of the reasons I posted on Instagram yesterday was that it was thought to be extinct until the late 40s. Arnold Arboretum exploration team went to China and found it growing in the mountains of China and brought them back. And so the Dawn Redwoods that are at the Arnold Arboretum and Longwood Gardens and here in Rochester, this was and still is a prominent arboretum. These were the first ones brought back to this country. And so the sign on the tree says 1948-0001. And I got to find out from the county exactly what that means. Maybe it's 0001 in Highland Park or Monroe County, or I'm not sure what that number means, but I've got to find out. So you can find them for sale occasionally in our area. It's not common to find Dawn Redwoods, but quite a few nurseries will have a couple of them, and they're a pretty fast-growing tree. They need full sun, and they lose their needles. So they look like an evergreen, but they drop their needles. And it's a very soft-looking evergreen appearance. And the other common tree that's similar in a way is the larch. Also looks like an evergreen and loses its needles. But the larch doesn't have as nice a form. The Dawn Redwood has one of the most beautiful conical forms. It's really it's a pretty stunning tree. And again, it's not a native tree, but it is was thought to be extinct until late 1940s. If you're looking for a native tree, I would absolutely plant a shad blow or service berry or shad. Latin name is Amelinca. And this is a ornamental tree, so I would use it instead of a crab apple any day. You know, the shad has so many more advantages, I think, over the entire season, and it's about to bloom. And I've been watching one in a neighbor's yard. I'll bet it blooms today. It's been in cold storage like we have for the last month, pretty much. I mean, the buds are all elongated. You can see the flower buds. They just haven't opened. And the sunshine and warmer temperatures today, I'm betting that will open. It'll be a beautiful white, kind of small, delicate flowers. The trees have a pretty form. They have beautiful fall color. They develop berries that are edible, that are really delicious. It's really all you can ask for in an ornamental tree. So if you're looking to get one, you may find them pruned to be a single trunk tree. They look more like a maple tree at that point, which yeah, that's nice. But I prefer a multi-trunk looking version, and that often looks more like a shrub when you buy it, and you have to resist the temptation, or you know, as someone comes in and prunes things for you, they might turn it into more of a gumball and not realize it's a tree and they need to let it grow out, and it'll be a multi-stem tree that will look really cool. You can't, you know, head shear it into a and keep it a shrub. You can, but it kind of ruins the value of it. It's going to look much nicer grown out and more natural looking. Pretty gray bark, just a fantastic tree. I would absolutely add a shad tree if you're looking for a tree that doesn't have dense shade, so wildflowers will do really well under it. You'll see it blooming in the woods in the next week or two, depending on the weather. And also the other white tree that'll be blooming pretty much the same time as a wild cherry. Generally a taller tree. So those two, just again waiting for this cold storage period to end and for us to get some warm weather. And today might be enough to open up the shad tree, at least my neighbor's shad tree. But the cold weather has also kept the bulbs blooming longer. You know, the daffodils and things are just blooming away, perhaps longer than usual. And so that's the advantage of this cold weather. It's about the only advantage of this cold weather. My seedlings in my garden, you know, I should have put a cold frame or a high tunnel over the garden to speed them up. They're all in slow motion. I go out every day to look at them, and really almost nothing has happened in the last week. But they haven't been damaged by the cold. They just haven't any sun and certainly no heat, so they are just haven't changed much. And I can't wait for them to grow a little bit, get some first leaves on the spinach and the kale, the Swiss chard. I did find some Swiss chard transplants at Abundance Market from Lighthouse Gardens. Todd Lighthouse would normally be at the Brighton Farmers Market when they would normally go outside in May. But also for quite a few years, he's had his transplants available at Abundance, maybe at Laurie's too, but I've already seen them at Abundance, so I know that they're there. And so I got several of the Swiss chard pots, divided the Swiss chard that was in it, because each pot had four or five Swiss chard plants, all clustered together. So I pulled those apart and set them in the garden. And then the squirrels promptly dug them right back up again, because I'd loosened the soil nicely, and they decided that'd be fun to dig up my transplants. So then I put a little bit of cayenne hot pepper around them, and we'll see whether the squirrels want to get into that. The rain will dissipate it, but in the meantime, maybe they can get their roots established so the squirrels can't wreak so much havoc with the new Swiss chard seedlings. So that'll, you know, those were grown in a greenhouse at Lighthouse Greenhouses, and they're a little bit ahead of the Swiss chard that I have. So I have a couple versions of Swiss chard growing in the garden. If you have comments, questions, you can reach us here, 585-346-3000. You can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Back after work from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
I was sitting in my garden when I saw a bumblebee. He said his name was Oscar, and he went buzz, 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 buzz. A 1, 2, 3, go! Buzz, 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 buzz.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of Naturally Green. Those include the Arbor Barber, Steve and Emily Lighty. They had to lay off a couple employees so that they could continue to operate as a sole proprietorship. Being up in your trees with a chainsaw, they are a safe distance from you. And you want to have someone who's well-insured and really experienced using a chainsaw. If a friend or, and this happened just down the street from me, it was a relative came over to help someone with a tree, brought their chainsaw. Now, nothing bad happened. But luckily I didn't know about it ahead of time. I might have tried to discourage them from doing this because these trees are tricky. There's a lot more weight than you realize in what appears to be a fairly small tree, maybe, or a fairly small limb. And it's just, it's not worth the risk, really. So get a professional to take care of things, to remove a tree, to thin it, to limb up, take some of those lower limbs off, and you can do some of that from the ground, but if it involves a chainsaw, I would hire a professional. And the Arbor Barber they do wonderful work, very reasonably priced, and if you've got damage in your trees from the winter, from snow and ice storms, etc., wind, then you need that taken care of. Get a free quote, 289-4117, 289-4117. That's the Arbor Barber. Also brought to you by Fruition Seeds, and they are open for mail order. You can go to fruitionseeds.com and get details. Petra Page Mann is also doing a lot of presentations. You can find those on Facebook, and they also have a garden club you can join. There's a fee for that and access to a lot more material that they've produced over several years, and some great instructional videos. It's fruitionseeds.com, and located in Naples, and it's a great variety of herbs, flowers, vegetables. They've got seed potatoes and garlic and things. Well, not garlic this time of the year, but shallots and onions and those seed potatoes. A lot of cool things. Fruitionseeds.com. Also brought to you by the Bristol's Garden Center. They're located on Route 96 in Victor. And I've been doing curbside service. They can also deliver for you. Whether it's mulch or trees or shrubs, look them up online, bristolsgardencenter.com, to get more details. Again, gorgeous location there in Victor, on your way to Victor, on it's Route 96, just south of 490. And finally, brought to you by Gallia's Tropical Greenhouse and Florist, and they are in Pittsburgh, the corner of Jefferson and Clover, and they've got beautiful tropical plants. They also carry the big green eggs and cut flowers. So they've been doing curbside service and delivery for people. It's galleas.com, G-A-L-L-E-A-S. When you call in visitor sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Naturally Green.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air. Locked up the barn with the greatest of care. He knew the hen house, something stirred, and he hollered, "Who's there?" "This is what he heard. There ain't nobody here but a chicken. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. They're gonna point that gun the other way. And I'll do the trigger jangle. There ain't nobody here but a chicken."
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And again, the cold weather has kept the bulbs blooming. The little blue scilla are starting to wrap up their blooming, and they're really beautiful in Highland Park and some other areas around Rochester. And as those fade, it's time to look for the seeds of the earlier flowers, winter aconite and snowdrops. I've got some big pods on my snowdrops in my yard, but they get large and heavy, and they kind of drop down to the ground, and so you don't notice them. And if you want to have lots of snowdrops in the future over a wider area, you wait till that pod gets big and maybe starts to lose some of the green color, and then pick it, let it dry out. Kind of finish maturing, and then sprinkle those seeds over the area where you want more snowdrops. They're not going to bloom next year. They might not bloom in 2 years, but they will in 3 years. So you have to be patient. But then again, they're free, and you don't have to plant them. You just sprinkle the seeds on the ground. So it's really not a bad deal. And the winter aconites are a little bit easier to find, because those seeds are upright and they will, they're green seed heads right where the flowers were, and they will dry out and pop open, and the seeds will fall pretty close to the plant. So, it'd be nice to spread those out also. And similar to the snowdrops, it's going to take a couple years for those to bloom. So next year there'll be a couple little leaves, and then maybe a small flower in 2 years, and maybe a regular size flower in 3 years. But from one seed head, you might get 50 seeds. And if you try to buy 50 of those bulbs, you'll find that's not inexpensive, and you got to plant each one of those with a trowel. That makes the planting of seeds look a lot better, to me at least. So that's how you get a carpet of yellow like they have under the beech tree at the Eastman Museum, or the carpet of blue like you see under the trees at Highland Park with the scilla. So the blue scilla is, and there's Kyandoxa, otherwise known as Glory of the Snow, not quite as blue with a white center. That's largely done blooming. The scilla is still blooming, and it's too early to collect those seed pods as they haven't developed yet. But the snowdrops and the winter aconite, those are available look for them. And if you have friends or family who have winter aconites or snowdrops, ask them if you can harvest a few of their seed heads. Again, it's you don't want to take the greenery with you. That's easy with the snowdrop, because the pod is at the end of the flower stem, and it's harder to find because it's down near the ground now because it's heavy, full of the seeds. But the winter aconite, you got to leave the green leaf, which is just below the seed pod, so that the bulb can regenerate its energy for next year. So be careful just to take the seeds and not the whole plant. And they really don't have that many leaves on them, so you got to allow those to stay and just harvest the seeds. I've got like probably a dozen winter aconites that bloomed this year. And you know, if I get 50 seeds from each of those, I got hundreds of seeds. And again, easy planting, cheap, and I'm going to have way more winter aconites next year. But invariably, I forget, and especially with the snowdrops, because they just fall to the ground and other stuff grows up around them, and I just forget to spread them out. So that's why I'm reminding people, mainly because I keep forgetting to do that, even with the winter aconites, where they're sitting up there and very very prominent. As I said last week, look out for the maple seedlings. The soil is still moist. You can still pull them out of the ground. You can use pliers if you need to for the older maple seedlings. Grab them right near the ground level. But get those out now, because it's really, given the number I have in our garden, I don't see why we don't have a forest of Norway maples just everywhere, given how prolific the seeds are and how many we have in our yard. I'll be pulling them for the next several weeks. Again, find the ones that you missed last year that are now woody stems, because they're going to be harder to get out in the future if you don't get them now. So some of the forget-me-nots are blooming in my yard. Those have started blooming. Just what a simple flower. Seeds itself, I don't think I ever planted that. It must have come from a neighbor's. And it's going to be stunning here in the next week as the forget-me-nots grow. And sometimes you can buy white ones. In my experience, they end up reverting to blue, or maybe dying out and the blue takes over. The blue is much, much hardier than the other colors. But there are a few different types of forget-me-nots. There's also one that looks like a forget-me-not that's called Brunera, which is a perennial, and that might be a nice option if you really enjoy forget-me-nots and you want kind of a different form. It has a bigger leaf, much bigger leaf. It's not a forget-me-not, it's just the flower looks like one, and that might be a nice addition. Another plant blooming now is pulmonaria or lungwort, and you kind of get the sense from the name, pulmonaria, means lungs, and those flowers are kind of like a forget-me-not, but often some very pretty foliage on it, and the flowers start out maybe blue and then fade to pink, but often the plants look like they have multiple colors on the same plant, because the flower changes as it's blooming. It's pretty small, about the similar size to a forget-me-not, but a really nice range of colors, and especially a nice variegated foliage on some of those pulmonarias or lungworts. So another plant to look for, ask for. One of the challenges at garden centers right now is you may not be able to browse through things as much as you would normally would. So check websites place your orders and take advantage of that curbside service. In some cases, as I said, the place is delivering mulch or plants, and it's a great time of the year to do that mulching. So wear a mask when you go out near people. It's easy to do. It protects other people, really, more than it protects you. But it does protect you to some degree. And that's what other countries are doing. This is not, this is not our country or our governor trying to be a authoritarian ruler and making people wear masks. It's because it works. That's why it's being suggested, and that's why other countries are doing it. Because if we want to end this shutdown, we need to cut the infection rate drastically, and that's what these masks do. It's science. It's been proven in other countries, and we're just sort of late to the game. But use them. Have them available. Bring them with you. And your mask protects other people. Their masks protect you.